Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. I want to remind you of the call-in number. It's 323-203-0815. And I want to thank the Want Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every Thursday. And remind you that we're on the air on many different nights, but we're not live. But you can hear us rebroadcast, and you can always go and listen to our archives. We've been downloaded over a million times. So we've got a caller, and I just want to say, Dr. Allen, are you ready to go to work?
I'm ready to go to work.
Then let's do this thing. Let's get our first caller on the line. Awesome. Okay. And I want to thank Ronan, our wonderful guy who texts our show. All right, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hey, thanks for having me. I was calling to give an update about something I called about 2 weeks ago.
All right.
This guy met me and we had dated a few times. We ended up having intercourse before any talk about monogamy. So anyway, he came over, we hung out, and I didn't bring anything up until he asked for intercourse. And when he did, I told him, I appreciate your sexual interest in me. However, I'm not looking for casual sex. I wouldn't consider having sex with you without some type of commitment, monogamy, long term. And he said, oh, okay. I'm just not looking for something serious right now. I'm looking for something on the casual side. And I was like, okay, you have every right to date how you want to date.
I'm just telling you
that I would no longer consider having intercourse with you without a commitment. And this was like kind of in the beginning. This was kind of in the beginning of us hanging out. So he said, can I still stay and watch the movie? And I said, sure, because I was just trying to be like passive. And
it turned into a duty date.
Yeah, he stayed and watched the movie. He ended up putting his arm around me and he said, is this okay? And I said,
that's affection. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I said, yeah, that's okay. And then he started kissing me and said, is this okay? And I said, as long as you understand that I don't want to go any further. And he said, yeah, I totally get that. And then the movie ended and he left and he gave me a hug goodbye and said, I'll text you. Nothing yet.
That's fine. That means he's going to reach out to you again.
Yeah. So that was 2 weeks ago.
So that indicates you've got to put him on an 8-week watch.
Yeah.
See, when they say something like that, they're indicating that they're not done with their courtship procedure.
Yeah. Okay. Because I was unsure about letting him stay and watching the movie, but I didn't want to tell him what to do. So I said, sure.
You did just fine. Now go out and get two more doing it.
Yeah. So I've been doing that.
But be nice when he calls and texts you.
Definitely.
And that's the secret, is to be a happy woman when they reject you because you're not a free wife or a free girlfriend.
Yeah, I was very nice. I said, you have every right to date how you want to date. I'm just letting you know how I feel and seeing how you think about it.
I adore you. That's so very virtuous. Men marry virtue. They don't not. Yeah. They do not marry vaginas.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you, caller. We want to hear an update. I love it. She is using those skills that you teach, those tools, and I tell you, you know, sometimes the ladies say, well, I'm going to scare him off. And I say, better scare him off now than later.
You're not kidding. And this massive abortion upgrade is fitting into a virtuous program. I'm not saying it's legal or illegal, right or wrong.
Subscriber, you have called. Not available. Please leave a message after the tone.
Well, it's quite interesting what's going on in Alabama and in Georgia and in Louisiana. So I guess it remains to be seen what will happen.
Hello?
But taking sex seriously is my goal in life.
I agree with that. I think it's a very serious thing. It's a soul exchange, and if you're not exchanging, one party is becoming empty, and that's a big deal.
Yes.
I think we've got a caller. Caller, are you there with us live?
Yes, I am. Hi, Dr. Pat and Kelly.
Hi.
Hello.
You have a question?
Yes. So I've been trying to follow your rules, and what happened was
I don't have rules.
Okay.
That's right. A different form of pain-oriented molding. What I do is I teach people to follow science, to follow nature, which is God's plan. Virtue is scientifically sound. And rules are humanly built. And there are some very strange rules. We're going through our abortion yes or no rules program right now. You see?
Right.
So what is your question about you being virtuous?
So I tried to be virtuous. A guy flew me out to Tokyo to meet him. And we've only dated maybe 2 or 3 times before. And he paid for my flight, and I get there. The second night, he tries to make a move and tries to make me go down on him. And he's
and
like,
that's his
okay.
nature, fine.
Yes. And then the next night, he wanted to have intercourse. And I said, I have to be in a relationship for that. And
beautiful.
He's like, okay. And then he's like, okay, well, I'll be your boyfriend. I'll stop dating other girls. And then I was like, and then what? He's like, I'll see you in LA. And I was like, and then when? And we'll see what happens. And I was like, but I want to take it slow and get to know each other first, because I felt really pressured. And he was being kind of like forceful to make me go down on him. So I felt really uncomfortable with it. And he's like, well, I've been waiting 38 years for this. And he's like, you want, you know, ABCD to happen. You want me to say all these things. And you don't think I'm smart enough to say those. And you want like all these like checklists to happen. But that's not the way life works. And like, good luck if that's the way you think. And there's many ways to get to the same point. And he's like, you think I'm just here for that? Like, if you're here, aren't we dating then? And you're not the only one who took a leap of faith. And he was saying like, why did you come here? I don't need you. You don't need me. You're being way too protective. And then after that, like after that night, he just completely checked out emotionally and just didn't seem like he really wanted me to be there or talk to me. Like he was just upset. And yeah, he didn't act very warm and friendly anymore. So my question is like, this is like the 3rd or 4th time guys have said that to me where they're like,
I know that here. And do you give them 8 weeks of rumination to miss you?
Usually, yes. So should I reach out to him and at least say thank you for the trip or just let him reach out?
No, because he said goodbye to you, But don't believe his goodbye until it's goodbye for 8 solid weeks. No calls, no clicks on your phone, no friendly little anything, no cartoons on your iPhone. What I'm saying to you is he's doing what nature wants him to do, which is make babies for the planet. But the problem is making babies is not a woman's game. More women died of birth, of pregnancy, way back when there weren't obstetricians and gynecologists. So being with the man sexually in nature is dangerous. And I want a woman to feel safe, not because she's got an obstetrician or a gynecologist that can give her an abortion, but because people like me say, don't have uncommitted sex. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of you because I want you to know that when a man wants to mate, wants to be committed, you'll be who he calls back. But by that time, you'll be married to somebody that bought the contract idea right off the bat. Remember,
and when can I believe them?
What?
Because if he said, like, when can I believe when they do say, like, he said right away, okay, I'll be your boyfriend. I'll stop seeing other girls. But he said it in the moment.
Then raise the ante. Does that include a promise ring?
Okay.
A promise ring can be a birthstone. It can be a gold band. It doesn't have to be a diamond. But it says, you know, it's really interesting that I remember when I was younger that girls put rings, their class rings, on a chain around their neck. They did something like a flag to signal other men and people that they have been chosen as a girlfriend by a man. Now, I believe in same-sex relationships, but even in same-sex relationships, there's a masculine respectable and there's a feminine cherishable. Two masculine people smash into each other with power. Two feminine people stand around waiting for the other one to approach. So if you want, the second level of committability may be more in your style, which is, I do not ever want casual sex, but if you are willing to give me a promise ring and introduce me as your girlfriend, I will consider it. But what you're saying is, oh, yeah, you're my girlfriend. But there's no sign of it.
Right.
So would you like to raise your ante to a promise ring?
Yes, I can try that.
Or you can stay at the level you're at, but give them 8 weeks to miss you and your virtuous ways.
Okay. So I don't have to feel bad that he got angry.
What?
I don't have to feel bad that he got angry. And you have to, like,
I know he got angry because he wanted to dump his semen in your receptacle. You were not created to be a seminal receptacle. You were created to love and to make babies and to be in a safe relationship. You see? So if you're a prostitute, well, make your price right. If you're not a prostitute, what?
Oh, because he paid for my flight, I felt bad for taking the money because he didn't get what he wanted. So should I have returned that money, or next time, if he does talk to me, offer to return it, or just leave it alone?
He gave you money for what reason?
For the flight, because he said he would pay for my flight.
I got news for you. He paid your flight, but was he really paying for a trick? Because if you offer the money back, you've turned it into a bad whore deal.
Okay. So don't offer the money back.
If he asks for the money, give it back.
Okay.
But you know then, he did give you a price for being his prostitute.
Oh, okay. So if he doesn't ask for it back and I don't offer?
You keep it.
Okay.
He paid for your flight. You came, you dealt with him, and you didn't give him casual sex. You didn't give him, you didn't say no to the pleasure of your company.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest that men who want casual sex can pay for it.
Right.
And God help
women
that accidentally get pregnant with no abortion laws.
Yeah. I don't want to have to deal with that. Yeah.
All right. Call us back
as
you go through your experience. But they've got 8 weeks to change their mind. And don't be mean to them, because they're doing what nature wants them to do. They're making babies as often as they can.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, caller. Now, Dr. Pat, that's a thing that some women have. They feel like if they go on a date and the gentleman pays, or like this woman, he paid for her to take a trip to meet him, they feel like that means they're obligated. And I love
what
you're saying.
And that's why I tell women, I want you to tell them that you will be affectionate, but you will not have casual sex before you take their gift of money or plane ticket or whatever. Please let them know that you're not putting out intercourse for money.
I love that you explain that, because it's really a touchy subject for some women. And I do think that some men believe that if they pay, that that's what they deserve.
I've got news for you. Why not? We have made sex such an equal deal. Everybody's the same sexually. Oh, no, they're not. Men are much more animal in their nature of sexuality, and rightly so. They fight other men for the best sex partner, to make more babies of their strain than the other man. Whereas women from the beginning of time have risked their life to have a baby with a man.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yes.
And we forget that there is a major risk involved in that. So our Facebook people have been reaching out, and they feel like we've been ignoring them. So I have a couple of questions here from our
Are the questions?
From our Facebook people. And one of the things we have here is a young lady says, I want to duty date, and I'm not exactly sure how to go about finding men to do this. I've done what said and gone to places where I feel good about myself, but I'm not certain the men I would want to date are at those places. So if I want to date out of my comfort zone, what should I do?
Duty date. Duty dating is practicing being a lady virtuously with people that are called men in order to learn how to do it gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
Duty dating is like In the old days, they had what were called cotillions, where parents would put their daughters and sons in a dance to teach them the etiquette of courtship, the etiquette of dating virtuously. Today, we are struggling to make men and women equal sexually, and that cannot be. We women, all of us, have a larger corpus callosum mixing our feelings and our thoughts. Right-handed men do not have a large corpus callosum. They are either in their passionate right lobe wanting intercourse, or they're in their logical lobe. I don't want to risk getting pregnant. I don't want to use this woman. I want to make love, not have casual sex. Those are the men that I'm speaking to. They know they shouldn't be getting the free sex. They know it. And if they're honest, they say they're guilty. But when they get it, they are most, most angry the first minute you're late coming home, because they know he got in so he can get in.
Right.
So virtue pays off in the end.
I agree with that. Then, okay.
All right.
Yes. So we have another woman who says, Dr. Allen, I have confirmation and evidence and a confession that my husband has been unfaithful to me. I am in love with my husband. I'm still in love with him, although my feelings are incredibly hurt, and I don't know how to get past this situation. He says he is not going to see the woman anymore, and he is committed to our relationship. However, I don't know how to believe him anymore. Can I get past this?
What?
Can I get past this situation? How can I get past it and stay in my marriage?
You can decide if he's 51% valuable. He was never created to be a perfect human being. So if he's 51% valuable as a husband, if he's 51% valuable as a business partner in the marriage, if he's 51% valuable as a father for children, keep him. Because all there are out here are human beings making mistakes. So
now you talk about trust and trustworthiness.
I don't trust anybody.
Please explain that.
Anybody for at least a year. You know why? Sociopaths can lie for 9 months.
Right. Right. Well, they've been married for 15 years, Dr. Allen.
That's wonderful. He has made a human mistake. He came across a woman that was free, and whether he was drinking or taking medicine or pills that lowered his standards, he's risking losing a virtuous woman. That is a life and death experience.
Yeah.
So, do you know what happens to men when they're betrayed by the women they love? The women they love.
What happens?
They're subject to it's called a broken heart syndrome. It's a Takotsubo cardiomyopathy heart attack in a perfectly healthy heart. When a man makes a mistake and betrays a woman, sexually especially, he runs the risk of dying of a heart attack, even if his heart is healthy, in 1 to 2 weeks after being betrayed. So that uncommon heart attack that happens is really nature's way of saying, men, don't risk falling in love. Get women to give you sex for free. Because if you fall in love with the woman and you betray her, you could die of the shock of making a mistake. Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, heart attack, broken heart syndrome. Look it up on your Google.
Oh, that's right. It's true. They've done lots of studies about it, and it's a very interesting subject. Okay, and it seems to be going with our theme here tonight. Our next question is, Dr. Allen, why do men cheat? Now, Dr. Allen, I know you've answered this a lot, but, you know, it keeps coming up. So let us have it.
I already explained, if a man is right-handed, he has a smaller bridge between the two lobes in his brain. The right lobe is for feelings. The left lobe is for thinking and doing. When a man has a sexual urge, and he may have a drink of beer or wine or a prescription drug, that knocks out his intuition, which is his major guide. Women follow their feelings. Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want because it doesn't feel good. Men go for what they want because they intuitively know that it's going to make them money, and the money's going to get him a good wife, and the money's going to help him raise his family. So the reason that men make mistakes is, number one, they have not been taught the price tag for making casual sexual mistakes. Churches try to do it. Governments in the Middle East, it's deadly to misuse sexuality. They kill people over there for doing it. Now, so a man who makes mistakes sexually runs the risk of losing his woman that he loves, that he has as the mother of his children.
Mm-hmm.
So men are neurobiologically built to go for free sex. But when they get it, they often pay a price they can't handle.
Yes, they do. Okay.
There's 13. A book, The Myth of Monogamy by Barish, which is good about that.
Yeah. This one is about getting to. I do. Dr. Allen, I've heard you talk about your contract before in getting to I do. Could you please explain in your amazing Pat Allen way how to start the talk of negotiating the contract?
Start the talk of what?
Negotiating the contract and getting to I do. How do you, she wants to know how to start that.
First of all, you have to decide if you're going to be the respected leader and man in the relationship. I have no problem with women operating, you know, their body out of their body, must, soul. Women have masculine souls. Men have feminine souls, the anima. Carl Jung's wife wrote the book Anima Animus. So if you want to read about it, there's a book for you. So with that, you have to know if you want to be the respected man or the cherished woman.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know that, if you're the cherished woman, you have nothing to say about what you want. You have to wait till he asks for what you don't want to give him. Casual sex, loaning money, putting up with him smacking you, something else that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to do anything except wait for him to say, I want to make love to you, or I want casual sex. Or whatever he wants. Or, in today's world, I want you to get an abortion. I don't want to have a kid. That's a big one.
Yeah.
And many women agree to doing it, even though they don't want to kill their baby.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, you wait for a man to signal that he wants you to stop dating. I see you're still on the website. Why are you on there? I'm off. I don't want you to date other men beside me, just me. That's the way usually men start the conversation. Then you start negotiating whatever you want. If you want casual sex and you're comfortable with it, have at it. If you get into trouble emotionally, call me. But I'm not changing my mind about what I teach, because I've done this for 48 years, and I don't see that casual sex works except for prostitutes who make a living with it.
Right. And then, and in a certain sense, that's not casual, it's contractual.
Yes.
Okay. So we have a...
And if you want to be a man, spot a cutie pie, send him flowers, take him home, make love to him, and there you are with a wife with a penis.
There you go. Then that's another one that leads us to our next question, which is a great question. I am 47 years old and divorced. I want a relationship, but I'm not sure if I want to be the masculine or the feminine energy, and I don't know how to determine it.
That's narcissism. If you want to be a narcissist, you want to be a masculine, respectable, and you want to be a cherishable feminine. So what you're doing is you're using up all of the platforms. So whoever's with you has to be a zero. Zero.
Right. Oh, she says, but Dr. Allen, what I'm asking is...
Wait a minute. Let's do an ad for the book.
All right.
My book is on the shelf 25 years. People hate it to start with because it's so Pat Allen, which means virtuous, boundaries, sexually. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Therefore, read Getting to I Do and you'll pick my brain.
That's the darn truth right there. Okay, Dr. Allen, I think what she's asking is, how does she figure out if she wants to be the masculine or the feminine energy?
She practices Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. She's a man, and she's chasing cute guys, sending drinks down the bar, paying their bill at the restaurant. Do what men do when courting a woman.
Okay.
If she wants to be feminine, she's got to do Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, where she can look in the eyes and smile, but not do anything. She can't give, she can't offer, she can't do anything except smile in their face. The eyes have it. Men see your femininity in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because masculine women look with such hard, concentrated energy that they're scary, just like women are afraid of men that compete, conquer, and control. Men are afraid of women, especially today.
Yes.
Me Too is just a group of women who didn't manage their relationships. And then they get mad at men for not mind reading that they did it wrong.
That's true. That's true. And there's nothing in the relationship handbook that says you have to be a mind reader, although many people think that should be there, and it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It's one of the most unfair things.
With words. Remember the Upanishad from India. Beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, at the doctor's office being well, and in every relationship, especially the loving sexual one. Especially the loving sexual one.
Exactly. So, tell me, what class did you teach last weekend?
I taught six darling women Getting to I Do, and every one of them cried when they realized the error of their ways to that point. But one of them called me up after the class and shared that it was a life-changing experience, and I rejoiced in that.
Well,
I know that science is right, and I want people to be healthy and to negotiate. There's only three ways to communicate. One is to intimidate with your, well, lady, you prudish bitch, you're never going to get anybody because people don't even believe in this anymore. Or seduce. You mean you let me pay for a ticket on a plane and you're not going to give me sex? What kind of a whore are you? And then there's the third way. Oh, you don't want casual sex, and I don't have enough prostitute money, so I guess we'll go to dinner and maybe a movie and hold hands and hug and kiss and love each other until we have enough money to get married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love Harvard. They did the big study in the 90s. They had 10,000 people on campus. Why did you mate? That's marriage without a license. Why did you marry? That's mating with a license. They asked him, why did you mate? Why did you marry? Two-thirds of men mate and marry for sensual and sexual stability. They're tired of beating bushes. They're tired of STDs. One-third of men mate and marry for stature and financial security. Her dad owns this big company, and I'm married to her, which means he's a gigolo living off her.
Mm-hmm.
Two-thirds of women mate and marry for stature. I'm his girlfriend. I'm his fiance. I'm his wife. Two-thirds of women mate and marry for stature and for security. One-third of women mate and marry for sexual and sensual stability. They're called cougars. They're usually over 50, wanting to play sexually with toy boys.
Yeah.
And guess what? Women, when they're older, are masculine, and the estrogen goes down. And men, when they're older, 45 to 55, their testosterone goes down. And the estrogen in their body causes them to want to feel good, especially sexually, at a woman's expense.
True that. We have a caller on, Dr. Allen. You want to take a call?
Yep.
All right, let's do it. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I love you guys, and I love Dr. Pat's work. I've been following you for a couple of years now. My question, even though it's related to relationships, it's a relationship between me and my older son. Is that okay, or did you guys want it to stick with the man and a woman?
No, we don't set it. I'm a marriage, family, child therapist. I deal with everything having to do with people loving and making love.
Exactly. Perfect. We'd love to hear your question.
Thank you. I have heard Dr. Pat saying that the mission that men or young boys would have is to get away from their mother.
Yes, and, very much so. They must birth themselves. Otherwise, mama's boys are really little girls with penises.
Correct.
Girls need a loving daddy who wants them to feel good in their life, not a working boy who does good things, but not loving.
Yes, ma'am, that is very true. So with what you said, my older son could not have demonstrated that any better. When he was born, I had a very difficult childbirth, and he showed up with, he was healthy then, but then we found that he had a lot of allergies. I don't know if it was related to his difficult birth or not.
He had
multiple food allergies. He had environmental allergies, seasonal allergies. So, because of that,
genetic disabilities. We have to handle them.
Correct.
Diabetes,
so, because of that, exactly, he was only cared for by family, by myself, my mother, and sometimes my husband. I did not have a nanny. I could not trust anyone with the food issue because he would have, with a couple of items, he could have anaphylactic. He could go into anaphylactic shock. So to make the long story short, it almost felt like we were pampering him, but we really weren't. We were just being protective. So that went on, and then we found out when he was 6 or 7 years old, he also had some learning issues.
Being
good to
a boy who's got a genetic problem is merciful. God, Hitler killed kids that were not physically healthy, you know, the super race. When it comes to genetic problems, I absolutely want everyone to help them. But when it comes to obedience and how to be a man, a girl cannot teach a boy how to be a man. A mother can be a woman with a son, requiring him to cherish her feelings, or else he pays the price.
Okay. All right. And that's probably where we went wrong. We were very caring. We did take good care of him. Later on, we found out that he also had some learning issues and ADHD, which most boys have.
Right.
But he was a really nice, sweet boy until the teenage years hit. And when he was a young teenager, he was okay. He was all right. But when he started 16, 17, he started just really not wanting me in his life. And anything I said, he didn't
I know.
Want
he
to.
He started
either.
Birthing himself away from you. That's
correct.
Part of nature.
But
do you know something?
Fine.
I want to tell you something. That between 12 and 18, teenagers do not make enough dopamine to make them happy. And they push away parents and try to go out of the house because nature wants space for the new baby. So there's a book by Dan Siegel. It's called Brainstorm. And it's about the fact that teenagers are dopamine deprived and basically do things that are kind of risky because they're looking for dopamine. The highest production of dopamine is with money and sex.
Okay, well, we've gotten to a point now that he is 19 now, but he point blank wants me out of his life. He doesn't. He's not respectful. He listens for the most part, but not
cherishing. You want respect?
I want cherishing. I want cherishing, but when he's not, yes.
I want you to let him leave your side, to go out and face the world after your death. He's pushing you away.
He has. He left
so that
for,
he
that's
learn.
Fine.
What?
And he was sent away. I mean, he went to college, so he just finished his freshman year. So he was away,
so
and he chose to
about?
Go out of state. Well, he moved back, and then not moved back, but he came back for the summer, and you know, there was no curfew, no bad talking, no, you got to do this, you got to do that.
Okay,
he pretty
so
much
what,
was
what
coming and going as
now?
He pleased. Well, he went with some friends out to a ball game last night, and apparently he was stupid enough to go want to go buy some
How
beer, and
he
is underage.
How
he
old
is 19.
Is he?
19.
He can live somewhere else. Do you have an uncle or an aunt or a cousin? You are wanting to be his mother, and that's detrimental. He's got things
I do
to
not.
Face on his own.
And he has, and he has. But like last night, I mean, the issue with him last night was that he was basically pulled away at the ballpark because he was trying to buy beer. And he is 19. I don't know that.
That's him. Okay. Do you understand? I'm listening to a mother talking about her control over her son, who's no longer her son, but a relative. Would you please
it's not
free
a,
him
it's not
to
a
struggle
control
with his
over.
Problem?
He
what?
He was he it, and I didn't even get involved. I just texted him and said, pictures, please, meaning pictures with his friends at the ballpark. And he said, don't worry, I'm on my way back because I got kicked out and I actually got banned from the stadium. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, what happened? And he told me, and that was that. I didn't scold him. I didn't say why you did that. I didn't say you're stupid for having a fake ID. I didn't say anything. I just said,
Then why are you talking to me about it if you already know?
Well, because
let him be who he is.
Right. I did. I did all the right things that you always say to do, but he said he didn't want
to
talk to me. Yes.
He has a right to be away from you. Please let him go.
That's fine. I am.
Well,
I am. But then he came home with his friend, and his friend came to say hello to me, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry this happened, and you guys had to leave the ballpark and everything else. And he was all upset that I was interrogating his friend, and he started sending nasty texts to me about interrogating his friend and everything else. And then I told him, just like you said, I said, you have every right to be upset, and I'm sorry that I'm not the kind of mother you want me to be, but let's just take a time out for now because you're upset. And that was it. I was fine, and I guess he was fine. He was up in his room. This morning I was at work, and he sends another text and say, I have thought about it, and I really don't, I keep giving you second chances, but you keep proving me wrong, and I really can't trust you anymore, and I just don't want to have anything to
do with you.
Do you
see what you're doing to me?
What am I supposed to do with that? What am I
doing? You're supposed to shut up. Shut up. Let him be a man.
He's the one texting me. He's the one texting me. I just told him a timeout last night. He's the one texting me this morning. I did not reach out. I did not call him. I did not text him. I just asked for a timeout, and he respected that, and that was fine. And then I was at work, and I get these nasty texts from him, which I did not respond. And I just don't know what to do now. I mean, I told my husband that I want to remove myself from his life altogether.
What would you do if your husband, do you have a husband?
Yes.
Is he a girl or a boy? Does he respect you or cherish you?
He does a little bit of both.
He does a little bit of both because you're a 10 and he's a 0. Would you please let your son go and live his life even though he's handicapped? Please.
I thought I already have.
No, you haven't. What you say is you have a right to leave me, but I don't like it when you don't cherish me. He's trying to leave your side, but he's tempted to come back and go away and come back and go away. Please help him be born. Let him face his problems. Let him not tell you where he's been and what he's doing. Let him be an individual.
I thought I already did that with him moving away to college.
No, dear, you're not. You've taken up most of this session on the phone to tell me what you and he have done. I want you to do nothing except be courteous. No mothering. No mothering.
Okay, I am not doing anything. He has not had one home-cooked meal ever since he's been
home. You're not getting me. I'm done.
Okay. So basically, just leave him alone. Don't talk, don't text,
yes.
Nothing. Okay.
Nothing. Just be courteous. Let him handle
his
own problems.
All right.
Good. Thanks, caller.
Thank
hey,
you.
Dr. Allen, we're out of time. What have you got to say before we go?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Indeed. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll be back next week. Until then, be good. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.